You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I guess, like, not really a question, but the follow-up to that was, I'm behind on the podcast. Like, I don't even know if you guys still have the same cast at this point or if you even drink beer anymore. Would like to definitively say to DF that, yes, we do still drink beer. And we have our regular rotating cast of awful hosts and excellent guests.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brews and Bruins podcast, episode one of season three. That's right, we started the new season finally after 84 long and horrible episodes. Several hard listens in there. Season two is over. No, I think season two was fun. I think we'll get to a little bit of our season two memories maybe in a couple minutes. But I am Drew Johnson. Here with Chris Gear, and Cam Hasbrook has been fired for season three, and he is replaced by Hasbrook Cam. Hasbrook, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. It's our second recording of the night, as you'll hear on Friday, but now you heard it now. So second recording of the night, we recorded episode two before episode one for, we'll call it, respect purposes, and I've been saving my really good drink for this one. I wanted to kick off season three with something good. So
Chris Gear's here.
Yeah, I'm also here. I think it was extremely appropriate that we did 83 episodes for season two. I was super happy with 84. Doing. Oh shit, damn it! So we were originally going to end at 82, and I thought that was a really nice, clean way to end season two. And then we just forgot to mention it on that episode, and so we kicked it back a week. And then I had a really fun, like, Brett Ritchie joke, but then I forgot we had two episodes between. I was going to do that. We weren't going to go 80 and 3 or whatever.
That's a good one. I like it. We'll just keep it in there and see if people notice.
This is the Brews and Broods podcast. The podcast. I'm sorry, Chris, presented by Bruins Diehards and sponsored by DraftKings, drinkable podcast. You can taste 9 out of 17 hard lesson, according to my dad. Usually not that bad, according to Patrick Laverty, though. I guess
you'll find out about that.
The man himself at some point.
Yeah, is there a new catchphrase that debuts on Friday?
Are you guys drinking anything interesting for season one that you're not going to drink next episode that we totally haven't recorded yet?
We're going back to season one, baby. Let's go.
Shit.
Yeah, I mean, so I reviewed this on, I think, probably the last episode or the one before that. Ailsmith Oktoberfest, don't really need to dive into it, but I'm drinking that. Fuck all y'all who think it's too early.
All right, yeah. No, I'm cool with that, because I just drank Oktoberfest next episode, so that's cool.
Last next episode. But it is October next episode.
That's true. Yeah, actually, you're right. All right, I went on a little field trip today up into, I want to say Turner, Maine. I want to make sure I get that right, and I'm going to make sure I get it right. But Ricker Hill Farms, little apple orchard up there. They got a bunch of stuff going. It's pretty cool. They got, like, pumpkins and apples and berries and grapes and, like, farm animals and stuff too. But a pretty big apple orchard, and they do a lot of cider and a lot of hard cider. So my girlfriend and I went up there and got an eight-thing flight of eight different ciders that they had. tried like 8 of the 12 that they had on tap. And yeah, I've had the blueberry one before. And if you've listened to the pod before, you know, I'm a big blueberry. So I've had plenty of those ones before. I wanted something else.
The episode, we're just going to cruise over.
And I feel like that's acceptable to call yourself one. You know what I mean? It can be taken really out of context. But yeah, anyway, I got the Rickerhill Maniac Maple Cider. So that is an interesting one, obviously. I've had the blueberry one before. I've had a lot of weird variations on cider. Can't say I've had maple until today. So let's give it a go. I mean, it should be good. I actually have had it once before, which was earlier today. So I don't know why I'm saying it should be good. I know it's fucking delicious. I'm giving it a pour here.
Magically delicious.
Let me give it a little spin. I don't think you can really hear that, but toss a little ice. There you go. Nice. It's going to be magic. This is outstanding. I was like, hey, we should try to guess which one's which, because it's like they labeled them by numbers, and then you check them off on a little note card. So this was the first one I grabbed, and I brought it off my nose. I was like, oh my God, that's the maple one. It's smack. Like when you open it up, it smells like a pure bottle or whatever of maple syrup. And this is why I decided to bring this one home, because it's got a really unique flavor. It in the weirdest good way, it tastes like somebody just straight up mixed maple syrup with apple cider, which I guess is what they did. But really good. It definitely keeps like a true syrupy flavor without having like that weird like stickiness that you'd associate with syrup, I guess. Definitely a sweet cider, but still a little bit of a dryness to it. Oh, just amazing flavor. I felt like this is going to be a really big hit or miss one. And it was definitely a hit. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's just absolutely loaded with maple and Maine maple too, which is a staple of the state. So yeah, I would say drinkability is going to be pretty high. 37, honestly, you could hammer these things. You might get a little bit of a headache, but taste also. Yeah, also a 37. I mean, I'm super impressed with how mapley that is. So a perfect 37 score across the board on the Maniac Maple.
I am having a Corona Extra. You can taste it. You can drink it. That's all I'll say on that.
You got nothing else to say on that, so don't even go ask
me. I got nothing else to say. Don't even ask me any questions. Actually, we do have some listener questions, but what do you guys want to start with? We got some season 2 memories. We got some preseason that started, and we also have some listener questions. So this is a democracy. I think, yeah, usually it is. It's usually either all three of us agree or two of us lean in a certain direction and force the other one to do something that they don't want to do. That's democracy. So
that's kind of how it works. Yeah.
I wasn't listening. What was the question?
What do we want? season 2 memories, listener questions, or preseason talk? Some season 2 memories.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many memories I have. I feel like
you were blackout for all of them.
Well, Cam didn't participate in season 2. So.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like hopefully people have listened to some, and if not, then feel free to check it out, or certainly don't. Really cool either way, but I don't know. I mean, I don't have any like specific, like we've had a lot of great people on over the last season and stuff, and I don't even want to start naming names because I know I'm going to just start leaving people out that I really would like to highlight, but I feel like I have more to say about what we want to do going forward, which I'll speak on when the appropriate time is. But if anybody's got some shining memories from season 2, please feel free to share.
That was a really interesting answer, Cam. I'm sure all the listeners love that. I'm going to call out some names. I just got real nervous about doing that because I also don't want to forget anybody. Just imagine I named everybody. And now I'm going to call out just the recent episode we did with Logan Mullen that I thought was absolutely hilarious. Got some real good feedback on that one. Yeah. And then one of my favorite memories of doing this podcast was the episode where we apologized for our mean tweets to Nick Ritchie.
That was an excellent one, yeah.
Yeah, that was I'm scrolling through all the episodes now. I'm
trying. But yeah, as always, shout out to our bullpen. Like, everyone in our bullpen knows who they are, so we don't need to like call them out. But the episode with Matt Porter was great. I mean, like, we did at least one episode with Mallory Soliotis during season 2.
I think it was two episodes.
Yeah.
Both without Cam.
Yep. Shouts to that. We're going to try to make that happen. I mean, just always good stuff from our guests, keeping our podcast afloat. And shouts to Billy Jaffe, who had no reason to have to come on this podcast. And we just bullied him into it.
Yeah, that was a great one. Yeah. Same with Pete, really, but we appreciate it.
Pete
I guess he kind of did with it.
Pete and I go way back. He knows the
Shane Knighty and all that. Yeah.
we're cool. He knows that he always has a spot on this podcast whenever he wants to come on, which is definitely always.
Yeah, totally. That's why you heard him all the time. no, I mean, I guess just at risk of like restating what Chris said, like, and also at risk of leaving people out. I don't want to even begin to jump into that, but everybody who has come on, like, huge thank you to you guys. It really is like, I talk about this a little bit in the next episode, so we'll get there, but we kind of set off on this Bruce and Bruins journey with the goal of not really creating your typical show that people like click on and listen to once a week and then disassociate with. This is really been about just kind of building a community around Bruins hockey, especially, and then, you know, beer, but not even always that. That's just kind of something that we kind of have driven into it. But it really has been awesome kind of watching that community grow. I mean, over the course of season one, I think we got our footing pretty well and stuff, and we kind of had to jump into the community in order to stay afloat during the dark days of COVID and before the hockey bubble and stuff. But especially, I think in season two, we really kind of flew off with some of the people we've been able to meet and interact with and stuff. And from stuff like Billy Jaffe, where we just bullied him into coming on, and people who are way too respectable, like Matt Porter, coming on, to last week when we tweeted out a random link and had some people jump on that we had just met through Twitter. So that's definitely been the most rewarding part of all this, besides the huge paydays from DraftKings, baby.
DraftKings.
But that's definitely something that I really want to just kind of keep building on into the next season. So if you've been on so far, shout out you guys. If you are listening to this and think that for some reason it would be a good idea to come on, shout out to you also, and we'll make sure to get you on here at some point.
Yeah, genuinely, like, everybody who's been on this podcast has been good. We have not had a single bad guest.
Yeah, we really haven't. Even, like, when we tossed out the link the other day and got two, Twitter gifted us two random people, two random listeners, it wound up being sane people. We really thought maybe we were going to get some trolls. I think, yeah, everybody on. But I was going to say, Mallory Soliotis, the first and I believe only professional hockey player we've actually had on the podcast, which speaks volumes about us and I guess Mallory's decision.
And her courage, yeah.
Also, and, the only professional hockey player to chug a beer on our podcast. So,
yeah. From a championship trophy, which is pretty badass. But
yeah, you know, well, and also she. I do want to draw a distinction between those two episodes that we did because the vibes were extremely different.
Oh, yeah.
The first one was basically me and Drew interviewing her, which was like a fine episode of hockey. And we like learned a lot about her and about hockey. And then the second episode, she came in hot with like a 32-ounce crowler and was just pounding that, and we were just like vibing.
You guys have no idea how mad I am that I missed that shit. Like twice. The first time I was like, this sucks, but you know what? We'll get her back on and I'll live with it.
The second time came around, I was like, fuck! Well, I told her we gotta have her back on because she's gotta bring the new championship ring on the podcast.
Things are sweet, yeah. Absolutely.
Just some episodes that stick out to me as I scroll through them. Player training operative. Episode 7 of season 2
where we tried Ferns, to figure out what PTO stood for.
Let's see, cupcakes and comebacks. That was Kaylee, where we had some cupcakes.
When Kat bullied us into doing a cupcake challenge.
Oh, the Corey and Richie,
through the Sporty with Corey and Richie podcast.
Yeah. One and beer, that's when she forgot my name.
Yeah, one beer anniversary was good. Fuck Everything Right Now sucks, which I wasn't even a part of, but that was a great one.
Yep.
Big, I mean, Fudge in the Fulcrum. Just the
Chili's.
Yeah.
Hashtag Bruins Chuck Norris. Actually, I wasn't on that one, apparently. Well. Chanel, how are you?
So we just recorded with Patrick, and we didn't even give him credit for the Chuck Norris stuff.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, well.
When you listen to next episode.
But anyway, yeah, no, I think it was an awesome season. And we honestly, until season two started, we had no clue we were doing seasons. All of a sudden, season one became its thing. we joined the, I think the biggest thing is we joined the network.
Yeah, that's true. We did a whole season of the podcast without being on a network. Well, I guess we're aligned with the Bruins diehards, which of course we still are, even if none of us has written an article for that website.
Yeah, that's why we're aligned.
Since I wrote my Space Jam article.
Exactly. And I have about 20,000 ideas, but Cam needs to write before I can even type up one of them.
So. I actually was looking at some fancy stats earlier and I was like getting the urge to. It's been a while since I've.
Should just copy and paste them into a Word.
Yeah, just screenshot like Charlie Hockey shit and throw it on. That'd be a bummer.
What's next?
I got like a non-Bruins related thing that I think I had tweeted out kind of earlier, but I guess it is timely with the preseason starting. Now the Seattle Kraken have officially hit the ice for a preseason game. But first of all, cool to see them get a win in their first preseason game. I think that was going on in Spokane, right?
It's pronounced Spokane, Cam.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I do my learning from reading, so you can tell I'm smart.
Yep.
I just did the like Urkel glasses push thing, but anyway, just to emphasize the joke and realize that no one can see it.
Sorry. Cam isn't working.
Exactly.
This episode title is going to be Spocame. Spokane.
Cam's camera isn't working, and he's a producer, so that's
hey, it's not my job right to him. Make cameras work. I'd be making the cameras work if I was in front of them. Hey, all right.
We'll be here all week.
But anyway, no. Seattle Kraken officially touching the ice as a team. I will say, like, it's pretty crazy. Like, they really just – we've mentioned this on the pod before, but they're doing everything right. And I feel like I tweeted out a meme earlier about them just beating the hell out of every other team for, like – I've always been like, oh, you know, I really like the Avs as a second team, blah, blah, blah. I'm full in, like, at least until they do something fucked. As Seattle Kraken as my second team, just everything that they're doing from – the team itself to the arena, and they were tweeting about today how their jerseys are made like partially from recycled material and stuff. It's just everything that they seem to be doing to the people they're hiring, including obviously our good friend Chanel. Just everything that they seem to be doing is really positive for the game of hockey, and they're making the kind of impact that I think we wish a lot of teams would. And it's really awesome to see that. Also, they have just an outrageously good branding. Those jerseys are so sick. The logos are awesome. It's a really easy team, I think, to kind of get behind and root for this year. I think everybody was kind of cheering on Vegas when they first came into the league until we saw how good they were. I think it's pretty safe to say Seattle's not going to be quite that good.
Social media is now.
Yeah, and that. I think we'll see. Maybe they'll surprise us, but I would be surprised to see Seattle do that well just based on the different changes and stuff that have happened and teams learning from their prior mistakes and stuff. But I think it's going to be a little bit more time for the hockey, the on-ice product necessarily to get to a really, really competitive level. But I will say they're an easy team to root for throughout all of that. And I don't think they're going to have much trouble, especially in a community like Seattle, which, I mean, I've never been to, but from everything that I've heard, it seems like the type of city that would rally around a franchise like that. So I'm excited to see what they can do over the next year. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on them as a second team.
Well, double shout out to Chanel, who, she herself selected Morgan Geeky from the Carolina Hurricanes, and he scored 2 goals in that first preseason game. So good job, Chanel.
Triple shout out to Chanel because the Seattle Kraken were smart in hiring her and not me. I didn't apply, but I thought about for a while, you know, when Seattle comes into the league, you know, they did seek me out. You know, they really wanted me to start the Kraken Brews podcast, but I said I couldn't. I said I have some obligations here at home. No, I'm glad the Kraken are a team. That's great. Their jerseys look cool.
Glad they exist.
I agree, though, on a more serious note, Cam, when you say, you know, they're kind of doing what we would like to see a lot, if not all, I think definitely all of the NHL teams do. Good for them. Sucks to be anyone else.
That's what I always say.
That's what he always says. All right, I'm going to try to find this DraftKings ad. Drew, you want to pull up some listener questions?
Oh, shit, sure. Are you Nothing doing else. The ad first?
Oh, dude, the cider is so fucking good. Holy shit. All right.
All right, now that you've calmed down a bit.
The Bruins and Bruins podcast is sponsored by DraftKings. Week 3 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 4 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 or more on any football game. Listen up, because you do not want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 or more on any game this week to receive $150 in free bets instantly. Don't worry if Sportsbook is not available yet in your state. DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Anyway, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. Only new customers, only minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer receives the price of DraftKings.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or Indiana 1-800-9 with it. Woo!
All right. Welcome back to the episode, everybody. Shouts to Cam swearing in the middle of an ad.
Did I? Shit, that's a bummer.
Yeah, that's exactly the word, too. No, it's fine. You know, I do that all the time.
It's DraftKings. You know, you gotta be 21 or older to gamble, so.
Yeah.
You should probably be 21 or older to listen. It's the Prison Bruins podcast, you know?
No, like, we're good for all ages. Anyway, listener questions. We got some questions. First one is from Catherine Silverman. Which season is superior, pumpkin spice or peppermint mocha? I'm going to have to go with pumpkin spice because do I love me some pumpkin spice, and the season that comes along with it. Honestly, I think it should be any time that you can have pumpkin spice, but pumpkin ciders, hello Down East, who makes a really nice hard cider brewed out of Massachusetts. They make a really good pumpkin spice cider. And actually, I had it. Me and Cam were hanging out last week, and I got it at that rooftop bar. So, yeah, just pumpkin anything. Shout pumpkin, whether it's like with your latte or a coffee, some beers, not white pumpkin ale. Fuck that shit. pumpkin cider. I don't know. Pumpkin coffee. Pumpkin patch spice. Someone jump in, please.
I'm gonna go with season 3 because I got real high hopes for season 3. That's the superior season.
I'm guessing Chris is trying not to rustle feathers there or something. So
no, my real answer is I think the season of pumpkin spice season is the superior season. At least in like New England and the Pacific Northwest, like fall is the better season. But I think in terms of like the thing I enjoy more, just dropping like a candy cane in my hot cocoa, like that's awesome. Yeah, I love that.
I'm with Chris on that. Peppermint mocha, well, I don't really seek it out, but that situation that Chris just described of dropping a candy cane into a hot chocolate is like, doesn't get much better than that. I'm also just notoriously not huge on pumpkin stuff. It's fine. I don't know, I'm a big fan of fall, like Chris said, probably the better season. Buffalo Sabres fans still have hope, just like, I don't know. I'm more of a peppermint mocha when it comes to the flavor itself. Probably not in a beer though. Probably in a beer, it would have to be the pumpkin spice.
I can't imagine that would be a good beer.
A peppermint
but
beer.
But someone try it.
A peppermint head beer. Pumpkin head. No. Okay. Clark Neil Lyons at CNL77, good friend of the pod, former X Games champion, or I guess not former because you would just, you know,
you just always have the X Games gold medal.
Yeah,
really underrated.
Just like we are.
Neil is really underrated as a gold medalist. I feel like in terms of all the gold medalists, he's probably my favorite.
Yeah,
yeah, I give him that.
Number one, how do you feel about Forsberg
aka Fullbot, aka
Forsbrand,
and Forbort and McAvoy pairing in camp. I think we talked about this recently on the pod. I think it was the Logan episode.
I mean,
I didn't see them play or anything like that. So all I can say is,
Charlie McAvoy did not play for the first opener.
Or I haven't even seen footage of camp. I haven't even seen photos of camp. I'm like, he doesn't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to see any season three spoilers, man. That's not what I'm about.
He's been staying off Twitter, Reddit, all that shit.
It is kind of, you know, we talked about, it's kind of what we expected, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main point I made last time we talked about this was Charlie McAvoy can carry anybody. So I think if it works, like obviously it takes a certain caliber of player to be carried well enough for that to work. So if it does work, then it makes your lineup deeper. So yeah, I think in the same way that putting Jeremy Lauzon with Charlie McAvoy early in the season last year was a smart move, I think it would be a smart move to try this first. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. And then you figure the rest out. But yeah, I mean, Grizzlick McAvoy was an awesome pairing. And I want Grizzlick to be as successful as possible. So whether that's on the third pairing or on the first pairing, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think what Chris mentioned about the early season stuff, I think that's a fine move to start. I would be surprised if it lasts all season. Maybe it'll come kind of in and out and stuff. We've seen that in the past. But I think there's definitely be some games where they're going to want to throw McAvoy up there, rather Grizzlick up there with McAvoy, try to spur a little more offense, that sort of thing. But I think to start the season, get them comfortable there and stuff, yeah, no problem with that. McAvoy is good enough to carry it, so I like it.
Next from Clark is 2A. So there's a A, B, and C to this question.
Three-parter, how are you?
With it looking like Jake, Holla, and Foligno combo at L3.
That means third line.
How do you see the fourth line shaping up? Two question marks. I forget who's left.
Yeah, so I think Noshik, then you've got
Freddy.
Curtis Lazar, and then Trent Frederick, I think, are probably the leaders in the clubhouse. And then obviously Wagner's probably that first man out kind of
13 forward, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing more hunting than playing hockey.
Is he a hunter?
It was a Kevin Miller joke, but I don't think Chris
Wagner's. I don't know if there's any overlap there. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think Chris pretty much nailed the nail on the head. I would prefer to see Wagner as the 13th forward coming into it. No offense to his beer, but or him as a person. But
yeah, we'd love to have him on the pod. Come on,
yeah,
come
no,
on
it'd be great.
If you're listening to this, Wags, ignore all the
now he's not,
things
but,
we've
yeah.
said about you.
Oh, Wagner, why don't they have him on the first line? You know, I've been saying it forever. Bruce what? Cassidy, this gotta get of, Wagner on the
a little bit British
on the first line. Oh, pip pip cheerio! How about that Christopher Wagner fellow? He should be on the top line of the Boston Bruins Hockey Club.
It's, all right,
it's great content.
Keep firing, Drew. What you got?
Did we answer part A of his question at all? We threw out those names and that's it. I think that's good.
Oh, what do we think of it? Yeah, I mean, it'll be fine. Energy line, I think similar to stuff that we saw last season, especially if it's like a Freddy Lazar, get some speed, got some grit on there. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a huge, like, goal-scoring line by any means. You don't want that. Well, I guess you would like that out of your fourth line, but it's not realistic to expect. I think the job that the Bruins are asking him to do, it's fine, and we've talked about four on this pod at the end of season two, just plenty of depth in the bottom six that really wasn't there last season. So I don't think that's going to be an issue for the Bruins too much this year. They've got room to shake around.
To more directly answer the question, Eric Holla, I'm not sure is going to be the answer at third line center, but you signed him, you might as well give it a shot. And then I think the idea is to kind of provide more of a jolt offensively for Jake DeBrusque on that third line. Like having Charlie Coyle be the center there isn't ever going to make Jake DeBrusque an offensive threat. So, I guess having Eric Haula there might help that. And then you have Nick Foligno there to stabilize it defensively. In theory, that could work. And who knows? But I don't know. I don't look at it and go, yeah, this is a great third line.
Wait, wasn't it? What's the question about the third line or the fourth line?
Fourth line. Part A was about the third line.
With it looking like Jake Haula and Foligno combo at left at line three. How do you feel the fourth line shaping up? How do you see the fourth line shaping up?
Never mind. We answered that already.
We also got a bonus content of what you think of the third line. So yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome, Clark.
I don't know what's going on. Other than that, we are at 2B. Barring injury, do you think there are any opening night roster surprises that could also include a deployment surprise, like someone playing in a spot you didn't expect? I think David Krejci is going to come out of the crowd with in full uniform, stick over his head like the NHL
Celia
celebration. And the whole crowd's just going to go, yes, yes, yes,
see,
yes.
Drew, I think you're close. I think you're close, but I think you're a little bit off. I think it's actually all of the focus being on Krejci leaving and Rask leaving. It's not a coincidence. What they're going to do is they're actually going to propel Tuukka Rask from the ceiling, and he's going to be the answer for the second line center spot that Krejci's leaving behind. Tuukka is making the position change. He wants to prove that he can win the big games, not only in the crease, but in the opposing crease as well. Or I guess poked right in front of it with some nasty deflections and putting home some rebounds. So Tuukka Rask, second line center starting out the season. Talk about the depth the Bruins have then.
Yeah, I think the only surprises might be something on the third pairing defensively, maybe. I think everything else like on the third and fourth line is within reason in terms of like expectations. I don't think anybody would be shocked to see somebody from the current idea of the fourth line up on the third line or vice versa. And then like, I guess a couple of players below like Stanika doing something. The Bruins still kind of have this cache of like quad A talent on the blue line where it wouldn't shock me to see somebody take Connor Clifton's spot on that third pairing, but there could be like a person who surprises you who that is, like someone that you're just not used to seeing.
All right, give me that.
And 2C is who's the next man up? And that next man up is Rob Schlosser with the next question.
Hey,
what do we think about Craig Smith's apparently fixed teeth? Unless I've been bamboozled by picture day. Did he fix his teeth? Did he get them new chompers?
I feel like a lot of players who lose a tooth just have like
fake ones.
Yeah, kinda just like an insert that like a retainer with a tooth in it that they put in there. So like I don't know if he was just wearing it for a photo or what, but I mean I guess if he was like skating around with it during a game, like did he didn't play in the preseason game, did he?
No, not in the not so, as of recording.
I would
neither of his two first names played, I don't think.
I would guess that he still has no tooth. Most hockey players don't fix their teeth until their careers are over.
Yeah, save the dental costs that way. Probably right.
That's why Pasternak still has, like, I would say 80% of his front two teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Allegedly. Yeah. And also, just not to totally skirt Clark's question, but whoever probably gets left out of the group that we mentioned before will be the first man up, is my guess. I don't think there's going to be any too big of surprises there. But
I think Stanika is the guy who's quickest to replace anybody on the like top six or I guess.
Oh,
like
is that nine. What he meant? Okay, yeah. I thought he meant like who is the first guy up at a Providence, something like that, or you know the reserve squad, if you will.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it's Stanika.
And then the next and final question.
is from Rob as well. The Bruins have announced a team barbecue before the season starts. Oh,
I've been thinking about this one, yeah.
Who on the team slots into the role of de facto grill dad? I mean, my answer, he's not on the team anymore, but Busick, that man grilled me a burger.
Yeah, so there you go.
So Chief Beef
Burger. Chief Beef. Chief Beef is absolutely gonna be the name of episode one. Oh my god. Chief Beef. Wow.
Oh my god.
But currently on the team, I feel like I see Pastrnak there just like making a mess of shit and like acting like the dad, but like the actual dad of the team would be Bergeron. And I think like the other Bruins players would be kind of like characters that are coming up and like annoying him in certain ways. And it's like a television series.
Yeah. My first thoughts were like kind of sad because it was like Chara still, but obviously that's not happening. I like had a weird thought about like Tuukka. I don't know if this is like a video I saw, but I feel like I've seen videos of Tuukka grilling in like one of their commercials, something like that. So that one also came to mind, although he's not officially rostered right now.
I believe he grilled on an episode of Charlie Moore one time.
Maybe that's what it was. I feel like I've seen like a clip or something of him grilling.
There have also been what was the thing they did where Bergeron has like the weed whacker or the. And that's like,
oh, yeah. It might have been that.
Marshawn's wearing, reading the book and waits.
The little ad they did or whatever, yeah.
No, it's has the saxophone.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. That's a great clip. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, realistically, probably Bergeron's the one who's going to do it and get roped into it. I don't know if that, no offense to Bergeron, I don't think he makes the meanest burger. I think he's too polite. He's just going to, like, oh, he's always just been like, oh, whatever is fine with me.
Put another burger on.
Put another burger on. Put another burger on.
Chief Beef, put another burger on.
Oh, no. Oh, God. I got an image of Craig Smith grilling as well. I don't know. Those were just like weird. Maybe I've dreamed of this or something like that. But those were the mental images that came to my head as I was reading it. So
I think Trent Frederick's on salad.
Yeah. So our big beefy boy, Nick Ritchie, would have won this for me if he were still on the team. And so I think by proxy, it has to be Nick Foligno, who is also the Nick and also the big beefy boy on that third line now.
Good answer. Sort of a dad presence there as well. So
yeah, he's a little like older. So also that wasn't our last question.
Oh, really?
Because I got an answer to my quote tweet from DF Pendris. Shouts to them doing the fighting the good fight with all the PHF the. Or the NWA, formerly the NWHL stuff with like Digit Murphy getting into like an anti-trans organization. And yeah, just a lot of stuff going on there. And DF Pendris has been doing a lot of work with that and seems exhausting. But DF asks, if Cam is there, why?
Oh, God, that's a direct shot. I will be the first to answer. I really don't know. I haven't known the entire time why any of us are here. I think at this point, especially me now. But yeah, I don't know. I got nothing for you. That's don't let the cat out of the bag too much, though. It seems like it went roaring out a long time ago. But I'm just gonna keep showing up. I'm just keep clicking on the links.
Cam's here because he's a day one homie. He pulls his weight even when he's not here. He makes up for when he is here. Either by having good ideas or being like, yo, I'm going to edit the next four episodes. And I'm like, thank you. That helps a lot.
My cry drink.
Cam still does his share of the work. So that's why
I do. Like, I will say on my behalf, I wish I didn't have to miss episodes because of work and other, you know, that sort of thing. But
yeah, you know, because we record on your one day off that yeah, it's, Chris don't yeah. have off. But, you know,
to be fair, I mean, it's hard to record Brews and Bruins at like 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. or something
Cam,
like that.
Cam
so.
Gives up his weekends to record with us, yeah, and we're forever thankful for that. and I guess like not really a question, but the follow up to that was, I'm behind on the podcast. Like, I don't even know if you guys still have the same cast at this point or if you even drink beer anymore. Would like to definitively say to DF that yes, we do still drink beer. And
this is our,
we have our and cider. and we have our regular rotating cast of awful hosts and excellent guests.
That'd be a good Twitter bio as well. We gotta switch that thing up. Season 3, baby, let's go.
Yeah.
Woo.
All right. Well, this has been, I think we're done with listener questions. Yeah. So this has been episode 1 of season 3. Who's the guy? No, we need to know who's the guy whose number was retired 3.
Number what? 3. Bruce, I mean, we could just go with Jeremy Swayman for number 1.
Yeah. No, but this is no. This is season 3.
Jeremy Swayman did not exist when the last time we had an episode 1.
So Lionel Hitchman. Number 3 retired for the Bruins. I don't fucking know any. That's
if you had asked me if number 3 was retired, I would have just said like, yeah, probably, because I don't remember ever seeing anybody wear it. But
yeah,
I never would have arrived at Lionel Hitchman.
I know it's 1 through 9, except 1 or 6.
Well, it's got to be 1 at least, because Swayman.
Well, yeah, no, it's, yeah. And then six is like Colin Miller, Dennis Weidman. No one's ever having number six.
Is Mike Riley 6 now?
I was gonna say, isn't Mikey?
Maybe he did that because he wants to be the first number 6 retired.
Yeah,
I think they retire him just because of his name, but sorry.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. This is the Bruins Brews Podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Die Hard, sponsored by DraftKings. Use promo code THPN. We will be back with you next time on Friday. I promise. Friday.
We already recorded the episode, so.
Yes, it depends on when I edit it, which
and
be before Friday.
And if you're listening to this on the night that we released, then I might be ripping clap bombs in my new men's league team, the Auger Bombs. So wish me luck out there, boys.
Oh, and we should also mention
everyone else.
We're going to do a crossover episode with my other podcast. I know.
Oh, right. I got to watch the movies.
We touched on this in the last episode, but I have an announcement to make. The movie Youngblood with Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze is unavailable to stream anywhere. So unless you want to have a DVD shipped to you like on Amazon Prime or something in the next couple of days, then
we're switching. Talk about my experience watching it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
I mean, yeah, okay.
I haven't seen it, but sure.
If it's unavailable to rewatch, then
save it for the pod. But yeah, yeah. But we're gonna swap in Goon instead. So that's what. Oh, you don't want to watch Goon?
Oh no, go ahead. I'll save it.
I don't think I've ever actually seen it. Maybe I have once, so I'm down.
Yeah, I would say it's a pretty solid hockey movie. I was going for like bad hockey movie that I hadn't seen before, but I've seen Goon before. I've seen it once, maybe a pick by my other co-hosts who hadn't seen it. So, but the other movies are Ice Guardians as chosen by Drew, Miracle as chosen by Cam, Indian Horse as chosen by Zach. And then Nate chose Slapshot.
Hell yeah.
So if anybody wants to follow along with that, we'll be recording that on Monday of next week, and it will be released on Tuesday.
Woo.
So, yeah, go check out and do your homework, watch some movies, and then listen to us talk about them.
Hell yeah. All right, thank you for listening. Goodbye. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Do 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 do